Hello, friends and family. It's so great to just encourage you as we're working through the book of Matthew. Soon we'll start with the book of Acts. What an exciting sort of climax as we're going up to the end of the book of Matthew. I think Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25 is like really tough scriptures. Especially Matthew 25. But in Matthew 26, there's sort of a story of a couple of people, and I don't have enough time to go through all of them. But it's the story of Judas, the story of Peter, and then the story of Jesus. Three characters in this chapter that's highlighted. And so it starts with the plot to kill Jesus. We see how the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, decided to come against Jesus and to say, this is it, it's final. And they looked for a way to actually arrest him. And so Judas becomes a main character in this chapter. And we see the heart of Judas. You know, there was a lot of things or maybe motivations in his heart. We see how he went to the Sanhedrin, he went to the people and betrayed Jesus. Probably the main reason why he did that was because he wanted Jesus to act. I think Jesus, according to him, was going a bit slow, you know. It wasn't for the money. If you look at the money, it was probably about 4 or 5 months worth of wages, the 30 pieces of silver that he eventually returned. But we see a character that has probably been corrupt from the word go. He had the money box. He dealt with the money, but there was stuff in his heart, you know. And we see as he went, betrayed Jesus. Then we saw at the Lord's Supper how Jesus looked and they dipped their bread in the same place and said, look here, you're going to betray me. And then from there he went. And finally we see this kiss, you know, the betrayal kiss that we've all heard of, where the Greek for that kiss means he kissed him constantly, as not just in a greeting or a betrayal, but said, almost wanted Jesus to force Jesus to took up the role of the king, the conquering king. Because that was, for many of the disciples, was in their hearts, was actually that Jesus was going to rule physically. Remember, the Jews were oppressed by the Romans for many years. It was really tough for them. And so they thought, well, according to the Isaiah prophecy, that the reigning king will come before the dying king. You know, there were two messiahs actually prophesied. And so they thought like, yeah, Jesus is going to reign. We see that a lot through scripture, how they try to force him to reign physically. Yeah. And so in that betrayal, obviously, you realize like, this is not the way of Christ. He kissed him and thought like, okay, let's bring it on. How many times do you and I not want to force Christ to do stuff or manipulate God to do stuff in our lives and say, Lord, if you don't do this, then I'm not going to do that. But God cannot be manipulated. God is sovereign. He's king of our lives. And so we see this miserable character eventually throwing the silver back and then went to hang himself. It wasn't a good character. Then on the other side, we see Peter, the extrovert, the going places Peter. Peter that in the garden cut off the ear of the soldier. He wanted to take force, you know. He was very confident, very courageous. And we see how he denied Jesus 3 times. Later in the book of John, we see how God restored him. 3 times asked him, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. You know, so Peter was this guy, he had a lot of courage, you know. And we sometimes knock Peter, but to be able to go into that courtyard, that was very tough. He risked his life when the cock crowed 3 times. That was when he risked his life to actually go in and then eventually betrayed Christ. And so we see this contrast between these different characters. And so there's another story, the anointing at Bethany, right at the beginning of the book of chapter 26, where Jesus was prepared. It's a beautiful sort of narrative of the Passover lamb that was going to be prepared. And so this lady comes with the oil. It was at Simon the leper. And, he was a Pharisee eventually. So there's a bit of controversy as to what this Simon was. Was it really the leper? Was it because the different gospels would speak different things? But here this lady takes this alabaster flask and she breaks it and anoints Jesus' oil as part of his burial, as part of his consecration. That oil was worth 300 denarii, which was a whole year's of wages. So it was very, very expensive oil. And so we can almost see the religious spirit and the people coming and say, well, we could have given it to the poor. We could have done. And then Jesus says, well, this woman, she's come from the back. She probably got it from prostitution. Some of the other gospels say it was Mary, you know, the prostitute that was the lady that was saved by God. So most people would say it was her, but a great, beautiful story. And so when we focus then on the life of Jesus, we looked at Judas, Peter, and Jesus, it's amazing how his first consecration and then going up, taking the Passover, you know, it was beautiful. At the Passover lamb or the celebration, all the Jews had to come to Jerusalem. So the religious leaders didn't want to persecute him. They looked for a reason. And so here Jesus takes the Last Supper with his disciples. Now, you need to understand a bit of the Jewish culture. There was the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, which was a week, and then there was the Passover, the celebration of the Passover, everything in remembrance of deliverance of Egypt, out of Egypt. And so there was the ceremony where they had to take all the leaven out, you know, out of the house on the Thursday. Then there was the preparation of the Passover meal. They ate some bitter herbs. They had salt water there. The salt water was representing the tears they cried in Egypt. The bitter herbs was the pain and the suffering of slavery. So there was a lot of symbolism in this meal that they had together. And this is where Jesus took the bread, he took the wine, and he said, look here, eat. This is my body. Eat, drink. This is my blood, the new covenant. You know, so beautiful pictures as Jesus was leading up to the cross. And then we see after that meal, we see this amazing, challenging moment where the Sanhedrin in the night, you know, met and started to persecute Christ. Now, it was unheard of that the Sanhedrin, which was the Jewish culture, the council of Pharisees, Sadducees, elders, they would never meet in the night. But through that night, they started to challenge Christ. And exactly the same happened with the Passover lamb. You know, the Passover lamb during this feast was inspected that there was no blemish. The family had to kill it on the Friday, take it to the temple. The blood was taken and then put on the doorpost of every family. Isn't that an amazing picture? That in exactly the same time as this feast, Jesus was inspected, Jesus was challenged, and eventually he died. And so leading up to this, there's a lot of symbolism in this chapter of what happened in Egypt, how the people were delivered from slavery, from the world, born again, walking into the fullness of God. And so the last part is where Jesus prays in the garden, you know, the Garden of Gethsemane, which is the olive press. That's the name for Gethsemane, you know, where everything was pressed together. And so that beautiful olive oil that came out, you know, and the disciples were running away. They denied Jesus. We read about that story. Challenging pictures of what Jesus came to fulfill. And then the last is where Peter denies him. And Jesus finally, through Gethsemane, begins to say, Father, not my will, but your will be done. This is such intense chapters to read, because the symbolism of what it meant for the Jews. For instance, the unleavened bread. What did leaven represent? You know, they had to flee Egypt that night in the Old Testament, and they didn't have time to bake bread with leaven in. And so it talks about no corruption, talks about that freedom to walk in. And that's why Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, you know, beware of leaven in our hearts, where it just slowly creeps in and blows up in our lives. And that's why when we look at Christ, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect Passover lamb, that's when there's freedom. And so this symbolism is so amazing of how they inspected him, how they challenged him. And then finally, they had to find a witness. Now, if you understand a bit of the culture, the Sanhedrin had to have two witnesses. They were very strict on when you could hand somebody over or when you could kill somebody. And so here, finally, the Caiaphas, the high priest, he came and said, okay, are you the Messiah? Now, remember, Jesus never said to people that he was the Messiah, probably only two times, one with the blind man and the other one, one of the lepers. But here, final challenge, what is going to be your witness, Jesus? And then Jesus said, yes, I am the Messiah. And then he tore his clothes. Blasphemy, he cried, you know, the same on the night of that Passover. So it wasn't just by chance. Jesus referred to that in the Gospel of John so many times, for this hour. So I want to encourage you as you read through this, it's not just an ordinary story. This is the will of God. This is the perfect sacrifice, the Passover lamb slain for our sins. What does that mean to you and me today? It says, hey, we have the perfect sacrifice. And I want to pray for us that it will become real as we read these chapters, as we look into the eyes of Christ, as we look at the sufferings of Christ, because for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So Father, we want to thank you for this time. Thank you for this amazing scripture where you sent your son because God so loved the world that he gave, Lord, his only son to die for us. Lord, let it be real as we take communion, as we spend time around your table. Lord, take out the spirit of betrayal. Lord, even the confidence that we have in ourselves like Peter had, take it out of our hearts so that we can only rely on the perfect sacrifice of Christ in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.